about the man who went to visit his doctor because he was having pain all over his body. Have you heard this? Okay, not seeing too many yeses. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy. He went to his doctor. He was complaining to his doctor that he felt pain everywhere on his body. And the doctor was very amazed to hear this from this otherwise healthy patient of his. So he wanted to examine and investigate for himself. So the doctor said, "All right, touch your head." And the man touched his head. "Ow! Wow," the doctor thought. "All right, touch your elbow." He touched his elbow. "Eee!" Doctor thought, "My goodness, what is going on here?" "All right, touch your big toe." "Ah! It hurts." And the doctor said, "I know what's wrong with you. You have a dislocated finger." You know, isn't that often the way it is? If you think about that patient, he thought he had so many things wrong when in reality, it was one thing. And if he could get that one thing straightened out, no pun intended, then everything else would be all right. It's the same with a lot of us. Did you know that? We think that we have so many things wrong. A whole bunch of us feel like we have a whole lot wrong. When we look around us, our community, our jobs, our church or churches, our relationships, our identities, our purpose, we feel like we have so much wrong. But the truth of it is the reality of the one thing. And if we will get the one thing right, it affects everything. Jesus said this in Matthew 6 in verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The one thing that, if we will get this right, will affect everything, is identified in that word by the word first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you what this is not. This is not just another priority to add to your list of priorities, even to make sure it's at the top. This isn't about, I know you have a lot of priorities in life, but if you will make this priority your number one priority, fulfill it, and then go ahead and take care of your other priorities, it'll be okay. That's not what this is. It's not a chronological ordering of things in our lives. Well, if you will take care of God's kingdom first in your day, in your week, in your year, then everything else after that, it will be okay. No, it is not those things. It's not just a priority to add to the list. It's not just a chronological ordering of things in our lives. It is, as Pastor Tony Evans describes, the prioritization of the rule of God in every area of our lives. In everything we do, we are to seek the kingdom of God. Now think about that for just a moment. In everything we do, we are to seek the kingdom of God. This is the one thing. we can feel like we have so much wrong, that there are so many problems in our lives and in what is a part of our lives. But the reality is this truth of the one thing, and if we'll get this one thing correct, it will affect everything in our lives. After warning his disciples to beware of covetousness, Jesus went on in Luke chapter 12, where your Bibles are open to teach his disciples to not worry or be anxious. Though you don't find the word beware again, it is clear that it could be present. He said, beware of covetousness. We could open this passage with the exhortation, beware of anxiety. Notice beginning in Luke 12, verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Would you read verse 31 out loud with me? Read it out loud with me. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today for the opportunity to gather, to worship Jesus, to sing praise to your name, to hear from the Word of God. And I ask you today, as we spend this time around the Word, that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us, Lord, about this reality of the one thing, putting first things, the first thing first. And I ask that we would be responsive to how you speak to us today. I am convinced that all of us in some way need this message today. And I pray that you would reveal that to every heart. And we'll be sure to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, what kingdom or whose kingdom are you seeking? In an article he penned in 2012, Paul David Tripp, a pastor author, confessed that God allowed him to endure pastoral hardship to show him that everything did demonstrated allegiance to or pursuit of one of two kingdoms. Either the kingdom of self or the kingdom of God. He said before the text that is before us today, the word but tells us this verse is the transition point of the passage. And he's speaking of the first word here of verse 31. It's also the first word of verse 33 in Matthew chapter 6. What is that one word? It's the transition but. It means that there is some sort of a transition taking place. And he says the word but tells us this verse is the transition point of the passage. Everything before it explains the operation of another kingdom, the kingdom of self. This makes the passage a very helpful lens on the struggle between these two kingdoms that somehow, some way, battles in the heart of everyone in ministry. But this is true not only for those in full-time ministry, but everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ. We all deal with the conflict of seeking the kingdom of self or the kingdom of God. How does the kingdom of self show up, represent itself in our lives so often? Well, think about Jesus' words throughout this text, found also in the text we read earlier in the service in Matthew chapter 6. Several times he uses this phrase, take no thought. Take no thought. You've heard me say before, if you've been here for any length of time, that in the original language, this is the phrase, do not be anxious. Be not anxious. Do not worry. Do not be obsessed with or overly concerned with. Well, what is the source of the anxiety? As you read through this text, he speaks about things like what we wear, what we eat. He speaks about our lives themselves, whether you want to take that as physical life, like am I going to live or die today? I don't think that's the point. I think it's just a general, the things of this life. You and I often get caught up worrying about, stressing over, being anxious about the things of this life. And if we were honest, we would admit that most of the anxiety we have or things we worry about are addressed by Jesus in this text and relate to seeking the kingdom of self. Let's do a little challenge this morning. I want you to think back over the past week. Some of you might say, Pastor, I can't think that far back. That's okay. Take just this morning then. But if you can think back over the past week, think back over the past week. How many of the things that you worried about this past week, stressed over this past week, found yourself anxious about this past week, found yourself fretting about or being overly concerned with or obsessing about from this past week, related to you honestly and sincerely seeking the kingdom of God? If I'm transparent with you this morning, although I didn't sit and make a list of all the things I worried about from this past week, I think I can say still, honestly, that I didn't worry about a lot of things this past week that related to the kingdom of God. The things I stressed about over this past week were not stresses related to seeking God's kingdom and building his kingdom. I dare say I didn't spend time anxious over things that pertained to lifting up and exalting the kingdom of God, but I can say with pretty good amount of certainty that if I was anxious and worried about things and stressed over things and fretted about things this past week, it related to things that had to do with my life and building a little kingdom of self. Can anyone else honestly admit to the same thing today? When you and I struggle with anxiety, worry about all these things, obsess over these things, we reveal our struggle with the kingdom of self. And what did Jesus say about that both in Matthew chapter 6 and here in Luke chapter 12? He said, when you are anxious about these things, when you worry about these things, when you stress about these kinds of things, you are anxious about, worrying about, stressing over the things that who is anxious about, worries about, stresses over. In Matthew chapter 6, he uses the term Gentiles. Here in Luke chapter 12, it's the nations of the world. Is he differentiating Jew from Gentile, the nation of Israel from the nations of the world per se? No, he's differentiating those who follow him from those who do not. Listen, when you and I fret over the things of this life, so many of the things that we worry about that are related to really building this kingdom of self, we're allowing our flesh to win out and demonstrating an attitude and a behavior that is consistent with those who do not know nor follow Jesus. And Jesus says, don't be anxious about these things. Don't worry. Don't stress over. When we do, it leads to many of the things that we think are wrong with us. Many of the problems and the difficulties that we worry over are like that patient who went to his doctor and thought he had pain all over his body when there was just one thing wrong. And so many of the things that we fret over, that we worry about, lead, that are about our struggle with the kingdom of self, and lead to many of the things that are wrong with us. If we would get this one thing right, it would correct so many of the other problems that we think we have. Or maybe even that we actually have. So let me ask you this morning, what or whose kingdom are you seeking? Is what Jesus said should be first, first in your life? Is the one thing the primary focus of your daily living? Is the prioritization of the rule of God in every area of life the rule of your life? If he told us in his word, in whatsoever ye do, whether ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God, then I would submit to you that in all we do, we can seek God's kingdom. In your vocation, you can build God's kingdom, or you can build a kingdom of self. In your home, you can seek his kingdom, or you can seek a kingdom of self. In your free time, you can seek the kingdom of God or seek the kingdom of self. At all times, in all places you may find yourself, you are seeking a kingdom. And Jesus said, seek first his kingdom. And when we do, what did he say would be true? All these things will be added to you. Those things you worry about, you fret over, you stress about, that are often related to the kingdom of self And often the source of all these different things that we think are wrong with us will be corrected when we put seeking His kingdom first. And if we do that, God will take care of it all. God will meet all the needs. God will help correct and heal all the hurt and the problems and the brokenness if we will put first things first. Is that true today in your life? Whose kingdom are you seeking? You say, well, I'm not real sure. How do I know whose kingdom I'm really seeking? How do I know if I'm seeking God's kingdom or the kingdom of self? Here are five ways to ascertain if seeking God's kingdom comes first in your life. I must tell you that these five ways to ascertain that are main thoughts I have borrowed from another pastor. The meat is mine, but the points are his. Number one, here's how you can know, ascertain if you're seeking God's kingdom or the kingdom of self. Number one, what you think about. Who or what consume your thoughts? Now, as we think about our thoughts, it's hard to really wrap our minds around all of the thoughts that we have. There are many different kind of thoughts that we all experience on a daily basis. Sometimes we experience intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thoughts are thoughts that are bombarding thoughts. They are usually prompted by something outside of us, and it causes a thought in our minds that we, at least the moment of the intrusive thought, don't have particular control over until the thought has happened, and then we decide what to do with it. And we all have those kinds of intrusive thoughts. We have habitual thoughts, thoughts that are present with us regularly, that in different situations, experiences, or events that we are a part of, these thoughts are pretty typical of us. You know, like that thought when you're around a specific person and it's someone you can't stand, and you think, I can't stand that, and you have some typical thoughts regularly. We were headed to church this morning, and one of our children had a noise-making toy in the vehicle with them. This is not a toy that I'm fond of. And my thought is the typical thought. I hate that toy. I hope it disappears or gets misplaced or something. Typical thoughts. Whether we're talking about intrusive thoughts, habitual thoughts, or whatever it may be, though, we all need to realize this truth. Our minds are often filled with what we fill them with. Did you catch that? Our minds are often filled with what we fill them with. If you have some type of a container, and that container has things in it, it's your container, it's always been in your possession, it's never been in someone else's possession, but there are things inside that container. How did the things that are inside the container get inside that container if it belongs to you and you're the only one who's ever had possession of it? Who put them there? You did. You know, the same is true of your mind. Often, your mind is filled with what you fill it with. And so if you're concerned about the thoughts that are coming out, examine what you're putting or allowing in. Are your thoughts directed toward the seeking of God's kingdom? Or are your thoughts consumed with the cares and burdens of this world? You say, well, I find my thoughts are often about the things of this world. And Pastor, you're right. My worries and my anxieties over this past week have been about the things of this life and stresses about what's going on in my life. And it's been about worldly things in that sense, things of this world. It's been about my kingdom and not God's kingdom. Well, then, friend, can I encourage you? Maybe you need to be putting some more in related to God's kingdom. Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Mind things that are of heaven, not things that are of this earth. Mind things of eternity and not things of the temporal nature of this life. What you think about, what consumes your thoughts, will help you to know if you're seeking the kingdom of self or the kingdom of God. Number two, another way to ascertain if you're seeking God's kingdom or your own is how you use your money. How you use your money. This life consists of getting and giving. Isn't that true? As it relates to money or to things, in your life and in mine, sometimes you get, sometimes you give. Sometimes it seems like the amount you give out to things that you have to is more than what you're getting. Other times you feel very blessed and you're getting perhaps more than you have to give out to pay the mortgage or the car payment or to keep the lights on or to keep food on the table or whatever it may be. This life consists of both. But friends, it is what you give and not what you get that will be remembered, make a difference and influence after you're gone. Do you realize that? You know, long after you've been in someone's life or been here and then gone, people aren't going to so much remember what you got. Well, I remember this person got that for their birthday, and I remember this person made this much every year, and I remember they got that raise back in such and such a year when they got a promotion. That's not going to be what people remember. But what they will remember and what will make a difference is what we give. And by the way, it's also indicative of the kingdom you are seeking and living for. If your life or my life is about accumulating for me, if my life is about making myself comfortable, if my life is about making it filled with as much convenience as is possible, if my life is constantly about the next bigger, better, newer thing, then that's going to be where I give. That's going to be what I give my time to, what I give my money to. But that's all about building the kingdom of self. But listen, when you are consumed with building the kingdom of God, you will give money, you will give of yourself to things that work to promote, to further, to extend, to grow His kingdom. Who and what are you giving your money to? Verses 33 and 34 of the text reveal something of the connection between our treasure and our hearts, don't they? Look at the verses again. Sell that you have and give alms. What is Jesus saying there? Sell what's yours and give to someone in need. Now, you don't need to raise a hand or anything, but I wonder, has there ever been a time you've actually sold something that was yours so you could give to someone in need? Are there times regularly where you take of your income and set aside to give to someone who doesn't have, to meet a need, to give more to God's kingdom? Oh, we have some wonderful wizards, and we can be wonderful wizards of a budget. Here is the allotted amount for God, and for the mortgage, and for the bills, and for the car payment, and this much is for me to do what I want with. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will what? Your heart be also. So what Jesus clearly tells us is that what we're giving our treasure to reveals something about where our heart is. What you think about, how you use your money, reveal which kingdom you're seeking, you're living for. Number three, how you make decisions. How you make decisions. Researchers tell us that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions per day. Have you ever heard of decision fatigue? Maybe you've not heard the term, but you say, I know I suffer with it. It's no wonder. 35,000 decisions every day. Do you realize that that's a decision every 2 seconds? Now, we feel like we make a few decisions and we're tired. And we think, why are we tired? Most of the decisions you make every day are habitual. You do things that are just things that you do. It's not something you really have to think about and weigh. You go, man, it took me 30 minutes to decide what to wear today. It took me 15 minutes to decide what to get. I don't know how I make a decision every 2 seconds. Well, you make a lot of habitual decisions. A lot of the things you do by habit. You don't have to think about it per se. You're not weighing. But we make a lot of decisions, that much is clear. Well, let's think about those decisions for a moment. What do your habitual decisions tell you about the kingdom you're seeking? I mean, the things that you do, the decisions you make that you don't even really think about. You don't have to spend time weighing. It's just, it's what you do. When you get up, you do X, Y, Z. Before you go to bed, you do X, Y, Z throughout the day at any given moment or in any given situation. That's just what you do. You don't really have to think about it. It's habitual, but it's a decision you've made. What do those habitual decisions tell you about the kingdom you're seeking? And then what about the non-habitual decisions? Those things that come up in life that do require you to sit back and think, consider, weigh the options. You're offered a promotion, you're offered a new job, you're going to purchase a vehicle or a car, you're going to purchase a new home, you're going to make some sort of a move, you're going to try to initiate a relationship with someone. Whatever it may be, those non-habitual decisions. These are situations we're faced with, we experience, we go through, that call upon us to make decisions. And when this happens, how do you make those decisions? Well, if I'm going to make more money, obviously, yeah, that's what I need to do. If I'm going to live in a bigger house, if I'm going to have a nicer, newer car, you figure it out. But how do you make those decisions? I submit to you, the decisions we make identify either pursuing the kingdom of self or the kingdom of God. I'm not saying that if you make a decision to take a promotion that comes with a raise, oh, you're pursuing self. What I am saying is, what went into the decision? Did you consider God? If it requires a move, have you thought about how is that move going to help me further God's kingdom? What goes into those decisions? How you make decisions reveals something about the kingdom you're seeking. Number four, how you use your time. What are you giving your time to? We all have the same amount of time each week, right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that is 168 hours in a week. What are you doing with them? Now, remembering that if we can do all that we do, even eating and drinking to the glory of God, then we can do all we do in pursuit of God's kingdom. What are you doing, though, with those hours that you have, with the minutes God gives you? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Redeeming the time, making good use of every opportunity to build God's kingdom, not mine. Number 5, we've seen what we think about, how we use our money, how we make decisions, how we use our time. Number 5, what breaks your heart? What breaks your heart will often identify which kingdom you're building and seeking, yourself or God's. When God's kingdom comes first in your life, you will know by what breaks your heart. Let me give you just a few examples to think about. What bothers you more? That your team played horribly and lost, or that you yelled at your child because of your frustration? What bothers you more? What bothers you more, that the bum approached you, or the brokenness of this world that breeds poverty, addiction, and injustice? What bothers you more, that you had a flat tire, or the unrighteous anger that caused you to snap and blurt out a word you shouldn't have said? These are just a few small examples that I think we can all relate to. Because if I'm honest, I would have to tell you that there are times my responses to situations, my attitude in different experiences that I go through, reveals that I am more bothered by what I'm frustrated about. I'm more bothered by what angers me. I'm more bothered by the interruption of my day and time to be asked that question by that person. I'm more bothered by the irritations of the day than by what can often be a sinful response. And what I'm saying to you is this: when you seek God's kingdom first, your heart grows more in love with Him and what He loves, but your heart also grows more to break with what breaks His heart, and that includes your personal sin, the brokenness and hatred found in the world, the ways that God is mischaracterized or maligned. It's unfortunate, isn't it, that we can be more bothered by what we see on the news and how they're portraying that person than how the world portrays our God. We can be more bothered by something that somebody else does that we perceive or see to be wrong than by the sin we know is present in our own lives. We can be more bothered, like I said, by an interruption to our day and our time and what we have to do by that individual who's probably just a drunk or an addict or whatever it may be. We're more bothered by that interruption than we are by the brokenness of this world that breeds that. And what I'm saying is this: what breaks your heart reveals what kingdom you're seeking. Because if we're more bothered by the interruption, if we're more bothered by the irritation of the day, if we're more bothered by that person being mischaracterized than by the sin in our lives, or that God is mischaracterized and maligned, we are giving evidence to the truth that we're more concerned with our kingdom and with His. as you consider these areas for yourself, what answer do you come away with about what or whose kingdom you are seeking? I'm concerned that more often than I'd like to admit, my pursuit is to the kingdom of self rather than the kingdom of God. If you find today that the truth of your life is seeking God's kingdom isn't first, the nice thing is you can change that today. You can repent, you can ask for God's forgiveness, and you can make a commitment to begin to make some changes, to pursue His kingdom first. And for some, you may need to deal with something even before you think about seeking His kingdom. You may need to join His family. That's why God sent His Son to this world, to live the life that we can't, a perfect life. He died the death we all deserve because of our sin, and He rose again to offer us eternal life. Do you know Him? If not, let us introduce you to Him today. He wants to be your Savior. He loves you so much. He gave His life for you. Whose kingdom are you seeking? But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Whose kingdom are you seeking? What does the evidence of your life say? So many of the things we grow anxious about, we worry about, we stress over, we fret over, we obsess with, are things that relate to our kingdom, the kingdom of self. And perhaps as you've considered what you think about, how you use your money, your time, how you make decisions, what breaks your heart, God has revealed to you that you've grown a little too consumed with the kingdom of self. And if you have, that can change today.